for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Sex and Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday afternoon, June 28, 1983. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and Conference Grounds Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Hot Springs, Arkansas. Don Corder is the speaker of the afternoon.
Father, we just thank you. Lord, we open our hearts unto you today. Lord, to do what is necessary in each one of our lives that we might walk victoriously, day by day. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Rabaha Sandalamako, Sori Andalamako. Sori Andalamako, Son Rabakaya. Know that my desire toward thee, saith the Lord, is a good desire. Yea, I desire to do thee good, saith the Lord. I desire to minister unto thee. I desire to do a work within your heart, yea, even as you have desired. I will, saith the Lord. I will. I will change you. I will cause you to be conformed unto the image of my Son. Yea, lay yourselves, even as Abraham laid his son upon the altar, yea, and gave him unto me. Lay yourselves upon the altar, even so, saith the Lord. Yea, and I will do you good. Yea, it seems even that the enemy would trick you, that when you would lay yourself upon the altar, that I, the Lord thy God, would do thee harm. But I say unto you, my children, oh, as I do a work within your life, it will be a good work, and you shall be of benefit in my kingdom, and I shall use you. Disdain not your position, disdain not your age, disdain not your place in life, saith the Lord. I will use every one of my members in this army, saith the Lord. Father, we thank you again for this time that we can open your word. We can glean from the truth that is there. Father, we thank you that for the revelation that you have given us individually, as a group. Father, we thank you even in advance for the revelation that you shall continue to give unto your people and to your church. Lord, we decree in Jesus' name that we will not misuse the information that you give us, that we will not misuse the revelation that you give unto your people in this hour, but we will rightly divide and correctly discern that which you are bringing forth. And Lord, that it would be the word that you give would be used to edify and encourage and lift up your body, your church, and cause it to be victorious. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And if we were to entitle the teaching this afternoon, we would entitle it, Overcoming Satan by Faith. Overcoming Satan by Faith. Our desire should not only be to expose, but to defeat and overcome the enemy's intrusion into God's purchased possession. You see, when the Israelites, God's chosen people, went into the land, little by little, they were to rid the land of the inhabitants there illegally, because they were in God's property. And they were to cast them out of the land and not to let them back across the border. They were to defeat and overcome the enemy. And one of the things that we need to continually remember in this end time is that we are in spiritual warfare. We are in spiritual warfare. Paul's letter to a church. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always. Prayer is an important part of our spiritual warfare. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. And he goes on and exhorts further. But the very familiar passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That is one of the tricks of the enemy, to get us to walk in war after our fleshly nature. To come against people, to come against ourselves, to come against other flesh and blood. Paul says, for though we walk in war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We do not have the luxury of allowing our minds to wander, and allowing our minds just to go here and there. Because every time you do, you have to bring the thoughts back and you have to deal with them. And sometimes that takes time, doesn't it? It's robbing your time when you allow your mind to wander, and you have to bring your thoughts back and bring them into captivity and bring them into obedience. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare. Paul told Timothy, as a young preacher, he said, you're going to be in spiritual warfare, Timothy. War a good warfare. Holding faith. After Paul told Timothy to war a good warfare, the first thing he mentioned was faith. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. And then 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. How many of you realize the fight that we're involved in is a fight of faith? And when we think of faith, there's always a fight. Why? Because we are involved in warfare. One of the terminologies that God has used concerning the people of the end time, whatever tag they might have, it's called an army. And an army is always involved in warfare. There are those on the front line and there are support troops. You may not be on the front line. You may be a support trooper. You may be an intercessor. You may be a giver. You may be one with the Ministry of Health or administrations or government. But we're all involved in that spiritual warfare. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And as we think about overcoming Satan by faith, there are some prerequisites for spiritual warfare. Whether you are entering into warfare on your behalf personally, or whether you are entering into warfare on the behalf of someone else. And as I touch upon these things, there may be others, but these are some that are important. And I'm certain that there are others. But the first thing is honesty. The first thing is honesty. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Draw near with a true heart and a good conscience. If you are going to have victory and defeat and overcome the enemy, one of the things that is necessary is honesty. Let me give you an example. I remember a man in Lafayette, Louisiana, as I was teaching Bible college there. He was a family man, and he was attempting to walk by faith, quote unquote. And when his rent money would come, I remember one time, his rent money came a day early. And so he said, well, that can't be my rent money, because my rent's not due till tomorrow. And so he went out and bought a stereo. Then the next day the rent was due and there was no money. You know what he did? He said, devil, you stole my rent money. No, not so. He spent it. Now, in one sense of the word, yes, the enemy stole it. But what he never did do, that happened time after time after time. He would live in a house 3 or 4 months, wouldn't pay the rent, and they'd shoot him out, and he'd go to another one. He'd live there 3 or 4 months, they'd kick him out, and he'd go to another one. Each time, he never said, I made a mistake. I missed it. It was my fault. He was never honest. If we are going to wage successful spiritual warfare, we must be honest with ourselves and honest with God. Amen? There must be a spirit of honesty. Turn back to 1 Timothy again, and chapter 1, and verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity or love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience. Now to me, having a pure heart and a good conscience is a very good biblical definition of honesty. A pure heart and a good conscience. And of faith unfeigned. Look at verse 18 of this same chapter. We just did, as we read in our introduction. And Paul tells Timothy to commit, I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. Faith and a good conscience. The only way that you can walk in honesty is to have a pure heart and a good conscience. And know the relationship in 1 Timothy there between doing spiritual warfare and having a good conscience. Paul put it all in the same context in speaking to Timothy. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Here again, we're not to go around confessing that we're sinners, but we're not to go around confessing that we never make a mistake either. Because you never grow. If you never admit that you blew it and go to the Father to get your heart cleansed again, what would have happened, as our brother expounded so beautifully on David? What would have happened if David would never have gone back to the Father and said, Father, I've sinned before you. I'm the man. See, David as king could have had Nathan the prophet killed. Nathan put his life on the line to go to the king and say, you're the man. But David, wanting that pure heart and wanting that good conscience, righted himself and came back into a right relationship with God. Saints, if we are going to be involved either receiving or giving in spiritual warfare, you must be honest. And I always tell people when they come to my office for counsel, I always tell them, you need to be honest with me or you'll not have a good time of deliverance and counsel if you're not honest. I said, in fact, you need to be honest with me, because if you don't tell me, the Holy Spirit probably will, and then you'll be embarrassed. And that has happened at times. I began to take authority over something, and the person would say, oh, no, not that. I don't suppose any of you have ever had that happen. And well, the person didn't want to get rid of it. That's why they didn't bring it up. Well, if we are going to defeat and overcome the enemy by faith and by fact, then honesty is necessary. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now compare this to having a good conscience. Here's a conscience that's seared as if with a hot iron. You see, this is a very dangerous position to be in, having your conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, the way I interpret that is it's kind of a know-it-all spirit. It's kind of a know-it-all spirit. You know, those people who heard about faith, and 2 months later they knew everything about it. I mean, they had it down pat. Or they heard about deliverance, and a month later they were ready to minister deliverance to the world. The conscience being seared as if with a hot iron. Now, that's what happens when the spirits of deception come. The conscience is seared over. Have you ever dealt with people or talked with people whose consciences were seared over as with a hot iron, and they would never admit they were wrong, never admit fault, never admit failure? On the other hand, we don't go to the other extreme and we're always admitting fault and always admitting failure, always staying in failure. No, we must walk honestly. That's all God expects of us in this one respect, is just walk honestly. Don't be something that you're not. Don't drag yourself down to a level that you're not on. Just walk honestly. Say, God, I made a mistake. You forgive me. I want to walk on. And tighten your belt and walk on. Amen? But honesty is important. As you sit here today and receive ministry, as the Spirit is called out, you may resist. Say, well, somebody sees me yawn or somebody sees me cough. They'll know I had that one. Just be honest. Some of these things, if I know they bother me, you'll see me up here just going, as I'm ministering to you. If I know I've had a problem with it recently. We just need to be honest with one another. Out of a pure heart. Look at the book of Psalms, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Again, these are the words of David. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Do we really want God to know our heart? We ought to really want God to know our heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. I remember one time I was teaching in a place where there were about 900 people. And it was, I wish I had, I'm like the brother, I wish I'd had that on video. I asked a question. I said, how would you like God right now just to reveal your thoughts on a huge microphone and just blurt your thoughts out in audible words? And I saw some of the most awful looks you ever could imagine when I said that. I said, well, why are you allowing those kind of thoughts to be in your mind then? Why are you permitting it? David said, try me and know my thoughts. He said, God, I want you to know my thoughts. I want you to deal with my thoughts. And saints, I'm not teaching on the renewal of the mind right now, but our thought life is one of the greatest avenues of approach that the enemy has, and one of the greatest ways that he attacks you and is able to trick you is through your thoughts. I think I mentioned the last time I was here concerning just an example. If the school bus is 5 minutes late, you mothers have your children spread all over the road. You know, you have your school bus upside down. You have all kinds of things that are going through your mind. It's only 5 minutes late. We must control our thought life. You must control your thoughts. Every one of us must control our thoughts. Or your children are outside playing and you hear the screeching of brakes. What goes through your mind? You know what I'm talking about. All right? David said, know my thoughts, Father. I want you to know my thoughts. I want you to try my heart. I want you to know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. If we are going to be led in the right way, we must be honest. Honesty must be a part of our life, especially in spiritual warfare. Warriors in spiritual warfare ought to be the cleanest people around. They ought to be the cleanest people around. You may be casting things out of people, and the things you've got are going right into them, even though you're getting other stuff out. There's just a continual turmoil. All right, secondly. First of all, honesty. Secondly, humility. Humility. God is in the process of dealing pride a death blow. And the best way to talk about humility, it seems, is to talk about pride. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. God said in a number of places in the Proverbs that he hates pride. Back up two chapters to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 17. A proud look and a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Well, if we're going to enter into spiritual warfare and defeat the enemy and overcome the enemy, then pride has to go. And when pride goes, then humility, true humility, can be a part of our life. Look at verse 18 of Proverbs 16. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Pride will always precede a fall. Now, if you apply that to spiritual warfare, you will see that there will always be a continual falling because of pride. Because humility must become a part of our lives. God's attitude toward pride is that he hates it. Therefore, he desires his people to be a humble people. We read in Ezekiel 28:17 yesterday how that Satan had exalted himself, how that Lucifer had exalted himself. In Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14, Satan says, I will lift up myself above the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will exalt my throne. I will exalt my throne above the heavens. I will be like the Most High God. I will exalt myself. And we realize that the greatest reason of Satan's fall was because of pride. Even if God gives us a position in His kingdom, pride will take it from you. Pride will knock you down. It will be a reason and a cause of destruction. Look at the fourth chapter of James, verse 6. I think this could be a cause of much turmoil in individuals' lives in receiving effective ministry, in any kind of ministry. I know that as a minister of the gospel, as a person that God has called and placed in the ministry, I have to guard against pride. As I sit out in the audience and I hear Charles teach, I can, let me see if he can teach me something. But that attitude has to go. That attitude can't be there. We are part of the body. You know, and among us, and God is really dealing with me about this isolation spirit of, well, I don't need to talk to him. I don't need to fellowship with her. No. That has to go. James chapter 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. God resisteth the proud. We're in quite a predicament if God is resisting us. I mean, it's one thing to have the devil resist you, but it's another thing to have God resist you. Whom does God resist? Proud. But he giveth grace unto the humble. And in this hour, even in this hour of faith, we need as much grace as we can get. Amen. Well, the only way the grace is going to be there is for the pride to go and the humility to be birthed. And one of the greatest ways that humility can be birthed in our lives is to pick up the attitude of a servant. Look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the greatest one of all. Yet when supper was ended, he took a towel and he girded himself and became a servant. And he washed the feet of the disciples who would soon, see, he washed the feet that would soon flee at his crucifixion. A humble attitude toward other people. Pride has to go in order that humility might come and be a part of each one of our lives. Let's go on to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, from admonition to the church. 1 Peter 5, 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Is one of your garments, your spiritual garments, humility? For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We need not wonder why we have not been exalted. We could say, if you exalt yourself, you have your reward. You have your reward. Then he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then those words that we read yesterday, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. We must resist. When God gives you success in any area of ministry, in spiritual warfare, when you see victory, watch out. That big head of pride is going to want to loom up and say, ooh, look at you. Look what you did. You didn't do anything. You're just a servant. I didn't do anything. I'm just a servant. All I did, all you did, was take a towel and gird yourself and be a servant to other members of the body of Christ. And note again the relationship between doing spiritual warfare and humility. He says, resist that one that walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him through your spiritual warfare. And in the context of all that, Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. The third thing we want to consider this afternoon is repentance. Honesty, humility, and repentance. For a number of years, Repentance has been a word and a concept and a principle that has not been dealt with. But I've noticed in recent years, God is restirring it in our hearts and in our lives that we must repent. The reason many times that the enemy continues to have a stronghold in people's lives is because of a failure to repent. They will not go the other way. They will not turn their back on it. The best definition of repentance is that if you're going this way and you repent, you're going to go this way. You're not going that way anymore. If you go that way, it's an open door for the enemy. Once you come out of the pig pen, you don't go back into the pig pen. You go back into the pig pen, you say, I'm going to go back into the pig pen and get all the pigs saved. You're going to get their mud on you. You go back to the pig pen, you're going to get their mud. Amen. You stand on the outside and throw them a rope. Once you think of sometimes, there's a riptide in the ocean and someone's drowning and there's already a terrible undertow out there. If you go out there, no matter how strong a swimmer you are, you're going to get it too. You're going to have to throw them a rope from the land. You're going to have to stay on the solid rock and say, here, let me throw you the rope from here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. Backing up, reading also verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. It seems that without repentance, the enemy continues to have his will, because it's your will that has to come into play for repentance to take place. You see, we have been doing some repentance. We repented yesterday concerning some things, that concerning some spirits. We repented. We renounced them. We said, Father, in the name of Jesus, we don't want them. We renounce you. We command you to go in Jesus' name. That is a repentance. That is speaking against them, going another way. Now you have to put feet to your face there. And when the enemy would try to come back, refuse his package, refuse his thoughts. And here again, note the relationship between spiritual warfare and repentance here in 2 Timothy 2, 25 and 26. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now let's tie that in with Romans chapter 1. Many times people will hear the message of the gospel of the kingdom, and because they recognize that they will have to change their ways and repent, and the enemy has them so bound up, they will turn and walk away because they know that they'll have to change. And the only thing you can begin to pray is that God will begin to be willing, that they will be willing to change and let God change their life. You know, many people want the Lord, but they also want their present lifestyle. They want the Lord, and they want the benefits. They want all the benefits, but they don't want to make a commitment to change their way of life. You know, you drive through the slum areas of even in the United States of America, in the truest sense of the word, even if they are poor and even if they are on welfare or whatever else, they don't have to live like that. They can change if they want to. You see, all it takes is a repentance. And now those that come out of there and say, I'm not going to live like children born in there, and when they leave, they never go back. They say, and some of them become doctors and lawyers and all kinds of things. We've seen that on Indian reservations up in Wyoming. Those young people that desire not to live on the reservation, and they want to, you know, they want to go to college and they become educated and do other things, because that's the desire of their heart. We can change if we want to. We can change, but you must want to change. Amen? We may not have the ability to change. Only God can change us. But the thing we must have is a want to. Oh, God, I want to change. I don't want to be like I am. I don't want to be like I was yesterday, either the day before. I want to go on and be different. be more conformed to the image of Jesus every day. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. We see overriding in all of this, in what we read in Corinthians and here in Romans, there is an undercurrent of a lack of desiring to repent and change their way. Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own body between themselves. No desire to change. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. If you retain God in your knowledge, you're going to have to change. You're going to have to repent. Amen? If you begin to retain God in your knowledge and begin to entertain spiritual things. Well, let me ask you a question. Since the first time you heard about spiritual things, salvation, baptism, the Holy Spirit, deliverance, healing, going on with God, have you changed? Amen? You're changed. You have changed, but are you satisfied? Don't ever be. You see, the fallacy of a pre-tribulation rapture is, I don't have to change. I'll just be taken as I am. I don't have to change. That keeps people spiritual babies, that attitude. Amen? The fact that, oh, I don't have to do anything. I can be just zapped out of here any given time. No. The end time body of believers, whoever they are going to be mature and coming into perfection. They're going to be grown up. They're not going to be babes. They're not going to be spiritual babies. They're going to be grown, matured, army of God. Rebellion, which is a good definition of a lack of repentance. If we do not repent, it's because we are in rebellion. I'm not going to change. I'm not even going to be willing to change. I've seen rebellious animals. How many of you ever seen a rebellious animal? A rebellious dog or a rebellious horse? You know, sometimes in training, like training a dog, years ago when we had dogs, training a dog not to go to the bathroom in the house. There's rebellion there. And he may repent for a while, but then he makes a mistake. Sometimes it takes a pretty harsh rod and some pretty harsh action to get the animal to do what it's supposed to do. Same with horses or any other. But men are not much different. Rebellion, you see, if a person fails to repent, and this is what we see in Corinthians here and in Romans, if a person does not repent and they continue to go their selfish, self-same way, that rebellion will lead them to deception. A classic example. Do you want me to give you a classic example for today, 20th century? Homosexuality is not a sin. It's an alternate lifestyle. Alternate lifestyle is a terminology of the New Age movement. It's exactly what it is. It's a terminology coming out of this thing called the New Age movement. Alternate lifestyle. In other words, however you want to live, if we want to make us ourselves a pig pen and live in it, oh, it's just my alternate lifestyle. That's my alternate lifestyle. Well, what is it? What's happened? What Paul said in Romans chapter 1. If you want to see what has happened, particularly in America, read Romans chapter 1. God has given them up to do such debauchery that we haven't seen. In the last 10 years, it's become far worse than we could imagine. I mean, we thought it was bad 10 years ago. It's really something now. And now we see, recently in Tampa, Florida, the new disease that has resurrected and come forth in the homosexual community there's absolutely no cure for. 8 or 10 people have died from it. I believe it's the judgment of God. Oh, you mean God would judge an alternate lifestyle? No, God judges sin. God judges sin. The problem was in Romans 1 is that they would not repent. They would not listen to God. They would not listen to the Word of God. So God said, okay, if that's the way you want to go, go ahead. It leads to deception. See, because homosexuality is not sin any longer. It's an alternate lifestyle. The rebellion that came as a result of a failure to repent led them into deception, and now they have an alternate lifestyle. Doesn't sound as bad as sin. The conscience gets seared with alternate lifestyle. You point your finger in a homosexual face and say, you're in sin. See what kind of a reaction you get. But you know, some of them's conscience is so seared, it doesn't even faint. Don't cease to pray for America. Don't give up. How many of you things look so bad? But we have intercessory prayer twice a week. And one of those sessions, we pray for America and all of her leaders, and we take them before the throne of God, and we come against the strong men in the nation. Because it's a part of our... Listen, if we don't, if we who have the knowledge of spiritual warfare don't, nobody else is. God can bring man to repentance again. Don't give up. God didn't give up on you. And you know where you were at, some of you. Amen? God didn't give up on you. So let's not give up. So that rebellion leads to deception. And once deception is there, Satan has open and free access to deceive that unrepentant heart that is in rebellion. Repentance is necessary, saints, if we are to defeat and overcome in our spiritual warfare. Next, renunciation. Not just repentance, but renunciation. Acts chapter 19, verses 18 to 20. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And then the next verse says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. You haven't renounced something if you still have it around. You haven't renounced your old life if you still have memoirs of your old life. If a person was in witchcraft, they don't just put that witchcraft stuff in a closet back in the corner somewhere. True renunciation means you will destroy and do away with whatever needs to be done away with to come into repentance. Because renunciation is actually a part of repentance. And note here again the relationship between renunciation and overcoming with the Word. It was after they had done those deeds by burning and confessing and showing their deeds by saying, look, I renounce this thing in the name of Jesus. I'll have nothing more to do with it. I destroy it in the name of Jesus. I'll have to admit to you that I was very tempted about a year ago when some folks saw that scripture. I wish they hadn't seen it. You say, why? Well, because I was being tempted because of the value of a lot of the things that they had. There was probably $2,000 or $3,000 in gold and silver. And they came to me and we looked at that scripture and we decided that we didn't even want that money from that gold and silver. It was taken and burned and buried. And once in a while the devil said, you know, when finances get a little tight, the devil would say, why didn't you find out why they buried it? No. Renunciation. Cutting off all communication with the old life. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. We read this earlier. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way. Hate that evil way that you walked in and renounce it. Do you actually hate the evil way, or is there a drawing power wanting you to go back to the evil way that you used to walk? You need to renounce with your mouth, with your life, with everything that's within you. You need to renounce your previous way of life. An alcoholic doesn't keep booze in the refrigerator if he's been set free. You don't keep it around. And you don't give it to somebody else either. Oh, it's valuable. I wouldn't want it. No. Destroy it. Get rid of it. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 23. Oh, what a beautiful message. And he brought us out from sin that he might bring us in. He give us a land which he swore unto our fathers. What has God done? He's brought us out. Well, if he's brought us out, leave the leeks and the garlic behind. What is leeks and garlic compared to milk and honey? I never could understand that. All leaf and garlic will give you is bad breath. In fact, the milk and honey would have cured the problems that the leaf and garlic caused. He brought us out. If he's brought you out, then you renounce what you've been brought out. That's the eternal purpose of God, say. He brought you out in order. Amen. The act of one's will to hate one thing in order to turn and commit himself to something else is renunciation. Renunciation is the act of proving your repentance. Can you see that? Renunciation is the act of proving your repentance. You say, God, I am going the other way. Prove it. By renunciation. What are we talking about this afternoon? We're talking about not only defeating, but overcoming the enemy by faith. Honesty is important. Humility is important. Repentance is important. Renunciation is important. And forgiveness is important. 1 John 1:9, we read it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Matthew chapter 6. Now what I'm teaching this afternoon, saints, is not something that's just good for today. This is not just a teaching on deliverance. I thought we'd break it up a little bit and give you something that is long range. The humility is to be there. Honesty is to be there. Repentance is to be there. Renunciation is to be there. And forgiveness is to be there. This is a continuing thing. Not just a one-time thing. A continuing thing. Because the Lord may bring to your mind and bring to your remembrance something you have not renounced. Some involvement. Something that the ministry of teaching or the ministry of deliverance brings back to your remembrance something that you really haven't renounced. Something you really haven't dealt with. Simply deal with it and go on in your Christian walk. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness is extremely important. Now, I find a particular thing. I'm sure that men do have the problem. But I've found that women have it more. That is, when they go into forgiveness, they will forgive everyone except themselves. You know, you ladies have maybe done things or hurtful things or things you shouldn't have done. And you'll forgive everybody involved, but then you just harbor this thing against yourself. Release it. Let it go. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Amen? Forgive yourself. Now, my wife, we had to deal with her along this line. And our youngest daughter, Crystal, was about, 3 years old, I guess. We had a big to-do at the church, and we were having a mortgage burning service and all this, and the district superintendent was there. He was busy preparing food and everything for the meal. Lunchtime, this was a Sunday. And we were having the meeting over there. The meal was in a different place than the meeting. And she and Crystal were going over to the meeting hall, and my wife had just made a big 30-cup coffee urn of coffee and just had turned off. It was hot. It was sitting on the floor of the car, and Krista was right there. And between the church and the place where we were having the meal, she turned a corner, and this coffee washed over and just poured on Krista's feet. You know, she had difficulty forgiving. Now, we received a miracle for Krista's feet. But she, you know, if I just would have done, if I wouldn't have done this, if I'd have waited, if. Once it happens, just get rid of it. Once it's done, don't say, well, if we'd have done this, maybe it would have been different. If it doesn't make any difference, even in your relationship, say, well, if I hadn't done this, maybe my husband wouldn't have left. No wrong. You said, there's nothing you can do about that right now except repent, renounce, and forgive. Forgive everyone involved and forgive yourself. There's a relationship between forgiveness and going on in the things of God. Jesus was in essence saying, it will be a hindrance to you if you do not enter into forgiveness. It's a hindrance between you and your Father. It's a real hindrance. And unforgiveness toward others gives Satan legal access. It's just an open door. It's another one of those open doors. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11. a very familiar passage of Scripture to us who are acquainted with faith. Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Woo! Hallelujah! Praise God! Look at all that. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. Wow! Oh, by the way, and when you stand praying, forgive. Oh! How many people even got that far to read verse 25? Huh? There's no wondering why people didn't receive things they claimed by faith. That one little thing of unforgiveness blocked the whole thing. Let's read it again, verse 25. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. What did the psalmist say? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, you know how I translate that? I don't translate it to the fact that God doesn't hear. It's that you can't pray in faith if you have unforgiveness. I mean, God is the same. He's there, waiting. But because there is a hindrance in you of unforgiveness, you can't get the faith prayer out. And therefore, the psalmist says, if I have iniquity in my heart, it doesn't mean no good to pray because I know God doesn't hear. Because I can't pray in an attitude to receive from God. Why resist forgiveness and as a result reap unanswered prayer and unanswered believing? What are we saying? We're saying that we need to be trained. If we are going to defeat and overcome our enemies and be involved in spiritual warfare, whether we're receiving spiritual warfare, whether we are receiving it ourselves or giving it out and ministering it to others, these things are important. Honesty, humility, renunciation, repentance. All of these things are important. Forgiveness. I think I'm just going to stop right there. And we'll just minister to one another and minister unto the Lord and receive again some more cleansing from the Lord. But just keep in mind these things that we've talked about. The fact that we have to be honest, humble, repentant. We must renounce. Many times when you renounce something, that in itself so loosens the enemy's hold. If you renounce it, it's as if the tentacles of the enemy, that the stronghold that he had is broken because you have disannulled yourself from it. You have divorced yourself from the difficulty. You are saying, I don't want it anymore. I renounce it. I break the hold of that thing in my life. Praise God. Let's just stand together for a moment and then we'll be seated again. But praise your name, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're leading and guiding us in this hour by your Spirit. Lord, that you are ministering to your people. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be unto your name. I would just encourage you. I know that I participate in nearly every deliverance session that is availed to me. I don't just stand back and say, well, let me just watch. Even if I'm out there helping, even if I'm one of the helpers, and there's a particular problem that arises that I know I've had a problem with, or I feel something rising in me, I just go ahead and release it and just go ahead and minister to somebody else and just participate. Everybody needs to participate. If you think you don't have a problem, we'll get rid of the pride first. If you think you've got it all together, let me sit down and let you stand up here. Oh, hallelujah. We don't want to enter that deception and say, oh, man, hallelujah. I just want to lead you in a good confession about the things that we've talked about this afternoon, so that we can be aware of them in our lives, just as a principle, to be aware that humility. I truly want to be humble, but there's absolutely nothing I can do to be humble. If I force it, it becomes pride. If I try to force the humility. Humility is an attitude of the heart. So the only way I can become humble is to go back to Ezekiel. Lord, give us a new heart, a humble, contrite spirit and heart, that we can weep before you, that we can be moved with compassion on the needs of others. One of the keys to the ministry of Jesus, I read through it, just traced through one day, and it would say that he was moved with compassion. And then things began to happen. Bread and fish began to be multiplied. The dead were raised. Widow of Nain, Jesus' heart was moved with compassion. I do not believe that a proud heart can be moved with compassion. Only a humble heart is moved toward the needs of others, because pride really doesn't care about anybody. Pride has the me, me. And that's right. It's me, 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 me. And you need to come against that thing in your children, because the enemy tries to bring that even among our children. Hallelujah. Just say this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I do not want to be proud. I don't want pride in my life. I truly do desire to be humble. Create in me, O Lord, a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, O God, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And Father, in the name of Jesus, cleanse me from every root of pride that I truly can become a servant of humility in the body of Christ. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, we just come against the pride that would come against every one of us in relationship to how we look at it today, that being the enemy to humility, that pride is the enemy to humility and the enemy to us truly becoming a humble individual in the sight of our Father. In Jesus' name, we break the hold of that pride in every one of our lives. Oh, there are still tentacles of that pride that tries to attach itself to us. And in Jesus' name, we break its hold and command it to loose us now in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Be loose in the name of Jesus. Be free from that prideful attitude and that haughty spirit and the pride of life in Jesus' name, and be free. Oh, Lord, birth a compassion within us in the name of Jesus. Oh, that false humility that bursts itself in pride, we come against it in the name of Jesus. We command it to loose us and go from us in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Now just continue with me as we go into repentance. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to have a repentant heart. Father, the things that I've not truly repented of, I ask you to reveal them to me, that I might truly repent. And Father, even as I just confess, a confession of repentance, cleanse me, purify me, give me a repentant heart in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, in the areas that I have not renounced past evil, past sin, past association, in Jesus' name, known and unknown, I renounce them all right now in the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, I command every spirit that came in because of our failure to renounce and everything associated with it, in Jesus' name, we break its hold in the name of Jesus. Now that we've renounced them, we command them to go in the name of Jesus. Every difficulty that we have not renounced, every association, every involvement, a cult, every deceptive spirit, everything that we've not renounced in Jesus' name, all the words that we spoke against other people, all words spoken against other people, We renounce them. We break the hold. We break the hold of those words that we've spoken against other people. We break the curse on that other individual that we've spoken on them. Father, we renounce all association with evil and evil thoughts and sins of the past and things that we've done in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabba Hasanda Lama Hashondra Bakayate. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And now just as a matter of reaffirming, I know many of you have entered into it, and you've spoken aloud a prayer of forgiveness. But you know, there are times that I feel I've really forgiven somebody, and a root will come up and I'll say something, and it's resurrected itself. The Lord, that thing has resurrected itself. That root was still there. I said I forgave, but by my actions and by my words, I really didn't forgive. That thing, I allowed that thing just to sneak out again. Amen. And I don't suppose that ever happened to you. Somebody really did you bad. I mean, really stopped it to you. He said, Lord, I forgive them. You can't forgive like that. How can we say, Lord, I forgive them? No, that's not forgiveness at all. Amen. So let's just enter into a prayer of forgiveness. Father, in Jesus' name, I desire to forgive. I will to forgive. In the name of Jesus. I forgive every individual who has harmed me physically, mentally, socially, with words, with action, in Jesus' name, by an act of my will. I forgive them. Father, erase the memory. Erase the hurt. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I forgive myself. I will harbor no bitterness, no resentment against anyone, including myself. In Jesus' name. Praise your name, Father. We just thank you, Father, that you've forgiven us again and cleansed us again, Father, and brought us back into a right relationship with you, Father, that we can receive effective ministry from you. Oh, praise be unto your name, Father. Praise be unto your name. Oh, praise be unto your name. Father, all spirits of unforgiveness, unforgiveness in Jesus' name, we break your hold, and we command you to loose every individual right now under the sound of my voice in Jesus' name. Unforgiveness, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. We will not tolerate unforgiveness. We confess it as sin in Jesus' name. We forgive. By an act of our will, we have forgiven. We have spoken that forgiveness in Jesus' name. Go, unforgiveness. I command you to go. All unforgiveness must go from us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All unforgiveness. Every hurtful thing that has been given, been sent to us by other believers. And we were deeply hurt, and that forgiveness, unforgiveness tries to resurrect itself in Jesus' name. We break its hold and break it loose right now in Jesus' name and command it to go. And loose us and be gone in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise your name, Father. Praise your name, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. All bitterness and resentment has to go. All bitterness and resentment has to go. Bitterness and resentment, we speak to you in Jesus' name. And we command you to go right now in the name of Jesus. All bitterness and resentment has to go in the name of Jesus. Bitterness and resentment, we command you to go right now. In Jesus' name. That judging spirit. That judging, fault-finding spirit. In Jesus' name, I break your hold. Even as we have been judging and finding fault with others here at the camp. With the food. With the facilities. With the rain. With anything. That judging, fault-finding spirit, we command you to go right now in Jesus' name. All judging and fault-finding. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That false perfection spirit. It would cause us to judge others and think we're better than they. That false perfection spirit. That false perfection spirit. I break your hold right now in Jesus' name. I command you to loose us and to go. In the name of Jesus. Go, you fault-finding spirit. Go, you critical spirit. In the name of Jesus. go, you judging spirit, in the name of Jesus. I break your hold by the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus. And I command you to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of hatred and anger that are associated and related to all these things. Hatred and anger, I command you to go in Jesus' name. All hatred and all anger must go in Jesus' name. All hatred and all anger must go in the name of Jesus. All hatred and anger toward parents, toward teachers at school, toward other people, toward peers, toward friends and relatives and associates, in Jesus' name, all hatred and all anger must go in the name of Jesus. Go, hatred. Go, anger. In Jesus' name. Be free. Be loose from that hatred and that anger in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Temper. Temper tantrum. All things having to do with the temper. All problems with the temper. Undisciplined. And temper. Temper tantrum. Temper problems. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I command you to go. All temper, rage, and anger, and retaliation, I command you to go right now in Jesus' name. I command you to go right now in Jesus' name. Loose the people and be gone. Be free in Jesus' name. Be free from anger and temper and rage in the name of Jesus. All spirits of violence, where that temper would, you would feel that spirit of violence, your rage and anger and violence in Jesus' name. Rage and anger and violence. Violence, we take authority over you in Jesus' name. We do not have violent spirits. They must go in Jesus' name. Oh, those violent spirits, even that would try to come against us when we get behind the wheel of a car, in Jesus' name, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. It's a very serious matter. That sounds almost humorous, but it's true. Many people take out their violence when they get behind the wheel of a car. In Jesus' name, you violent spirits, we break your hold and command you to go right now in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. Be free. Spirits of revenge. Spirits of revenge. In Jesus' name, we break your hold, spirits of revenge. In the name of Jesus. Those get even spirits, we break your hold in Jesus' name. We will not get even. We leave the judgment to God, who will give righteous judgment. We forgive, and we come against all spirits of retaliation in the name of Jesus. Spirits of retaliation and spirits of rage in Jesus' name, we break your hold. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All spirits of revenge. All spirits of revenge that would even think, would cause us to think about getting revenge. In Jesus' name, we break your hold. We break your hold upon our minds in the name of Jesus. We break your hold upon our minds, you spirits of revenge. You spirits of murder. You spirits of murder, in Jesus' name, I break your hold. I break your hold. That desire to want to just strangle or kill or destroy someone or something else. In Jesus' name, we break that hold of murder. Even that spirit of suicide, to murder ourselves and to take our own life. In Jesus' name, you spirit of suicide, we break your hold and we bind you in the name of Jesus. You cannot exert your power in our lives any longer. You spirit of suicide, go in Jesus' name. If you've thought about suicide at any time in your life, you need to participate in Jesus' name. You spirits of suicide, go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go, you spirits of suicide. Go, you spirits of suicide, in Jesus' name. Go. Don't torment. Go in Jesus' name. Be loose in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Onda, arabakshandrabakayendradehekshata. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus, you spirits of suicide. You destructive spirits, you spirits of destruction, in Jesus' name we break your hold and command you to go right now in Jesus' name. All spirits of destruction, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, go. Oh, Rabahasandar Vyandrabahasala Rabahasoto. Area, go in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. Another one of those spirits of this age is the spirit of Antichrist. The apostle said that it was even now in the world when he wrote his epistle. He said it is even now in the world, that spirit of Antichrist. We want to come against that spirit of Antichrist because it would lead us to deception. It would lead us astray. It would lead us to tell us all kinds of things. Oh, that's not true. That's not of God. You better not get involved in that. And anything that would come against the Lord Jesus Christ in his person, in his work, against his blood, against the cross, against the ministry, against anything Jesus accomplished, is an antichrist. If it's against Jesus or against his ministry in any way, it's anti-Jesus, it's anti-Christ, it's anti the ministry that God gave through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't want any part of that, do we? Amen. So you need to realize that's another one of those strongholds, those strong men. If we bind the strong man, we break the hold of the strong man, then it loosens the others to go. Because the strong man has to go. Father, in Jesus' name, we break the hold of that spirit of Antichrist, one of the spirits of this age, one of the spirits of the end times. You spirit of Antichrist, in Jesus' name, I come against you, I loose your hold. I command you to go from every one of us in Jesus' name. Go, you spirit of Antichrist, go. We will not entertain you. We will not have you. Go in Jesus' name. All spirits of Antichrist, every doubt that we've had about Jesus healing us, every doubt we've had about Jesus saving us, any doubt we've had about Jesus providing our needs, any doubt we've had of God's Word or of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come against you in Jesus' name, you Antichrist spirits, and we command you to loose us now and go. Go in Jesus' name. All spirits of Antichrist, all spirits, any words we've spoken against Jesus, any words we've spoken against his ministry, anything we've blamed upon the Lord, anything we've blamed upon God, you spirits of blaming God, in Jesus' name, I come against you, blaming God for failure, blaming God for sickness, blaming God for problems in finances. In Jesus' name, we come against those blaming spirits in the name of Jesus. You blaming spirits and blasphemous spirits, you spirit of blasphemy, you're related to that Antichrist spirit. You spirit of blasphemy, we come against you in Jesus' name. We command you to loose us and go right now in Jesus' name. Go, you spirits of blasphemy. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. You go in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, forgive us for blasphemy. Forgive us for coming against Jesus. Forgive us, Father, for entering into blasphemous words against you, against your word, against the ministry you've given. Now, I want you to think with me about words you've spoken against any servant of the Lord. I want you to think about any, I just want you to realize if you've spoken against any servant of the Lord, whether they were in lay ministry, whether they were in fivefold ministry, if you've spoken against the servants of God, it constitutes a curse. If you've spoken against God's anointed, because God said not to speak against his anointed. Even David recognized that even though Saul was doing what was wrong, he had no right to speak against Saul, because Saul at that time was the one God had chosen and given the anointing. And we have no right to speak against God's anointing. I believe we've had many problems in our lives, physically and socially and mentally, because we've spoken against God's anointing, and it borders on blasphemy. It's a blasphemous type spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, we break the words that we've spoken against God's servant, against any other member of the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, we break the hold. We cast those words down in the name of Jesus. We break the curse that we've put by our words on other people in the body of Christ. We break the curse spoken of words we've spoken against other members of the body of Christ, against others in ministry in the body of Christ. We break that hold right now. Command it to loose us in Jesus' name. Set us free in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. 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 I command you to loose us and go. All ugly words, blasphemous words, spoken against God's anointed, against God's anointing, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. All spirits of false teaching, all spirits of false teaching, in Jesus' name, we break your hold. We cast you to the ground in the name of Jesus. We command you to loose us. Every spirit of false teaching. If you've been involved in false teaching of any kind in days gone by, those things like to try to crop up and just resurrect themselves at times and just sneak in. In Jesus' name, we break the hold of false teaching. We break the hold of error. We break that hold of error in Jesus' name. We will not tolerate error. We will not tolerate false teaching. We may not know everything, but what we know is truth. We may not know everything, but what we know is truth. In Jesus' name, I break your hold, you spirits of false teaching, you spirits of religious bondage, you spirits of religious bondage that keep us from praise and worship, you spirits of religious bondage, we break your hold right now in Jesus' name. All religious bondage, go in Jesus' name. All religious bondage, go. All false teaching, you go. You go with the religious bondage in Jesus' name. All false teaching of religious bondage, go in the name of Jesus. All hindering spirits that are religious spirits that keep us from worshiping and praising God and opening up to God. All of you hindering spirits, I command you to go in Jesus' name. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Go. All false teaching. All false religion. Spirits of false religion. Spirits of false religion, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of false religion, Eastern cults, Eastern religions, in Jesus' name, we break your hold. We break your communication back to us. We break every soul tie. Every soul tie. We break every soul tie with false religion, with false teaching, with religious bondage in Jesus' name. We break every soul tie in the name of Jesus. We renounce you. We reject you in Jesus' name. And we command you to loose us and go from us right now in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. All spirits of tradition. All spirits of tradition. Family tradition. Religious tradition. All spirits of tradition. In Jesus' name. We break your hold. Tradition, I speak to you in Jesus' name. I command you to loose God's people right now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of tradition. All spirits of tradition. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of deception related to false religion, false teaching, religious bondage. Every spirit of deception, in Jesus' name, we command every spirit of deception that has ever come against us, that would presently come against us, to try to lead us astray, in Jesus' name. We break your hold, you spirits of deception, in the name of Jesus. All spirits of deception, I command you to go, in the name of Jesus. All spirits of deception, in Jesus' name, I break your hold, command you to go, in the name of Jesus. I want to deal with a curiosity of other religions and curiosity of spiritual things that were not of God. Parapsychology, mental telepathy, TM, yoga. My wife and I just recently discovered something. You can take it for what it's worth. We're continually learning. But the Lamaze method of childbirth is a form of mind control. You meditate on a dot on the wall and all of these things. That's the same type of thing. It's rooted in Eastern religion, which is of the enemy, which is deception, which is false religion. It's an idolatrous type worship. Amen. And so we want to come against the curiosity of false religion because they have a drawing power. Because you are spiritually active, they have a drawing power. You don't even have any business studying them to find out what they're about. You don't need to know what they're about. Those spirits are there ready to... If you open yourself to that, to study it, you say, well, I'm protected. But if you open yourself and begin to delve into it, you begin to open yourself to the very spirits that work around those things. You don't have a curious spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen? And there have been things that are happening in this hour that we get kind of curious about. I think I'll try to find out what that's all about. Read it secondhand about what the research that somebody else has done. That's the best way to do it if you want to find out about it, rather than to go to the material and dig into it yourself. And if God lays it on your heart to research something like that, to expose it, you make sure that you plead the blood of Jesus and keep yourself clean. If God does have you do some kind of research like that, but if you do, you make sure it's God telling you to do it, not a curiosity spirit. Amen. Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, I renounce all curiosity of false religion, of false cult, in Jesus' name. I renounce them. I command them to leave me now. In Jesus' name. Curiosity, we command you to go in Jesus' name. All curiosity of false religions, all curiosity of error, all curiosity of religion, false teaching. In Jesus' name, we break your hold. All curiosity of the occult, in Jesus' name. All curiosity of these cults, all the cultist religions. We don't need to have the Jehovah's Witness in our house just to talk to them and see what they believe. In Jesus' name, we break that curiosity. In Jesus' name, we break all soul ties that have come to us through our curiosity of false religions. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, every spirit that is transferred to us because of our curiosity. In Jesus' name, we break your hold and command you to go. in Jesus' name. Go, curiosity of false religion, curiosity of any kind of occult or cultish worship, in Jesus' name. We break your hold and command you to go. Go, curiosity, in Jesus' name. Go, in Jesus' name. Oh, Rabahasanda, Rabianda. Oh, Rabahasanda. Oh, Rabahasando, Riyanda, Rabahasanda. Oh, Riyanda, La Rabahasando, Riyaraba. Bunda, Handa, Rabahasada, praise be unto your name, Jesus. Praise be unto your name, Jesus. Praise be unto your name. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow.
I just want to deal with one more area this afternoon. Many of you who are here have been involved in home groups. You've been involved in Bible studies, ladies' Bible studies, home Bible studies. And there are some particular things that begin to take place in those circles. A friend of mine was ministering to a lady one day, and she had a spirit of charismatic witchcraft. Have you run into that up here? Charismatic witchcraft? You know what it is? It's a charismatic witch. It's a spirit that wants to control. If a spirit of charismatic witchcraft would come in here, it would control by prophecy, by tongues, by all kinds of things. They would be pulling strings to control. It's also a Jezebel spirit, a spirit of manipulation and controlling others. We want to deal with that. The Lord just quickened it to me while we were singing about the blood of Jesus. So we want to deal with the spirits that relate in that. That witchcraft, if that's what it is. If you try to manipulate anyone else in any way, if I try to prophesy to you to get you to do something, and it's not God, it's a spirit of witchcraft that's operating. Amen. And it's not of God. It's not of the Lord. And there are spirits, they're actually in a group, we could call them controlling spirits. And so let's just deal with them now in Jesus' name. Praise your name. Father, in Jesus' name, I renounce all control spirits. Whether I was in control, whether I was doing it, or whether I was on the receiving end, I renounce them, I reject them in Jesus' name. Now let me call them out individually, and we'll deal with them. That first one, that charismatic witchcraft spirit, doesn't have to be a woman. It could be a man, but we found it predominant in women. Now, I'm not coming against ladies, I'm coming against the spirit. Amen. Because it's to the men's shame that they weren't the head of the prayer group. Amen. They ought to have been rather than the women. But praise God, there were some women that were even willing to be used. Praise God for that too. But wherever there are spiritual things, the enemy's going to try to come in and cause something. Praise God. We know that. But we need to be aware of it. Father, in Jesus' name, I break the hold of that charismatic witchcraft spirit in Jesus' name. That spirit of control in Jesus' name. You spirit of control, you spirit of charismatic witchcraft, in Jesus' name, we break your hold. You've tried to destroy churches. You've tried to destroy ministers. You've tried to destroy ministries. You've tried to destroy people's lives, people's homes. In Jesus' name, we break your hold. You spirit of witchcraft, you charismatic witchcraft, in Jesus' name, we break the hold of that control spirit in the name of Jesus. We break it over this area. We break it over this area in Jesus' name. We break it over this area in the spirit world. We break your hold, you strong man. You strong man of charismatic witchcraft. In all the prayer groups around, in Jesus' name, we break your hold. In Jesus' name, we break your hold. We bind your hold in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I bind that in Jesus' name. I bind that spirit in Jesus' name. I bind you in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. 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 All spirits of possessiveness. Possessiveness in this area of home Bible study groups or anything. Possessiveness in Jesus' name. Possessiveness, we break your hold. Possessiveness, we break your hold in Jesus' name. All dominance, all dominating spirits, all dominance in Jesus' name. We break your hold in Jesus' name. All dominance in Jesus' name, we break your hold. All spirits of superiority, superiority. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are not one superior to another. In Jesus' name, all spirits of superiority, all spirits of superiority, go. In Jesus' name. We're not better than others. In Jesus' name. All spirits of superiority in Jesus' name. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Spirits of manipulation, whether we're in the ministry or whether we're trying to manipulate anything in spiritual realm. Spirits of manipulation. I found myself trying to manipulate people at times. In Jesus' name, I take authority over all spirits of manipulation. I break your hold in our lives in Jesus' name. I command you to go. All over the room in Jesus' name. You spirits of manipulation, you have to go in Jesus' name. Go, manipulation. Go in Jesus' name. All spirits of witchcraft that came as a result of all of these control spirits. The end of it.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.